All right, WWIB, and it's the 9/11 anniversary. Mm-hmm. And first of all, I think I mentioned this maybe earlier this morning, but again here on the WIB Wake Up Show, hats off to Jonathan Solberg, who's a student at Eau Claire North, like a few of my kids. And his dad, Chris, posted this on Facebook that Jonathan, a junior at North, inquired, like, is there anything being done to remember 9/11? And when he found out there wasn't, he got with a friend, they met with the principal, and they're being given several minutes during morning announcements today to share what they've prepared. So
I love that.
That's leadership
That
for sure.
I love kids who take the reins and advocate for themselves and bring about change or are passionate about a cause. So, so proud of you. Thank you for doing that.
You've been featuring the kids that are with those achievements. And if people have something, they should certainly get
Please
a hold of you.
Do. Yeah, the Student Achievement Spotlight is back up and running for the school year. It's always kind of a slow start because everyone's just starting. So if you have a student in your life that you think is doing amazing things academically, in the arts, within the community, by all means, reach out to me, Hillary@WWIB.com.
You do a great job with
and
that.
Thank you. And let me know, because I would love to talk to you or your students, or just give a call to the station, leave a message for me, and I will get back to you.
All right. So, again, we're welcoming thoughts from you this morning here at WWIB. And speaking of teachers, Sarah is a teacher in Altoona.
She is. She does a great job.
Lives in Fall Creek. She's one of our great listeners.
There.
And on the listener line, 715-396-1670, she took us up on the invitation to share her 9/11 remembrance.
Good morning. This is Sarah from Fall Creek. And on September 11th, I was taking sixth grade tech ed over in New London, Wisconsin. Started off as any other day. We were getting ready for the students to be coming. And all of a sudden, the teacher across the hall from me came flying into my room and said, "You've got to come see what's on TV." And so I followed her over there and just stood in shock at what I saw on the screen with the buildings on fire and just wondering how the day was going to unfold and what was going to be happening. And, of course, the students started finding out what was going on. And, of course, as children, they were scared. Are they going to come bomb us and that type of thing? And just trying to just calm them down and just reassure them that we are fine. And we're just going to go through our school day as usual and everything's going to be okay. And but also not knowing what else was going to happen throughout the day and if there was going to be anything else. Lots of praying that day and for the service people helping out there and for the victims and for the people that were trapped in the building. I just can't imagine the thoughts going through their heads at that time. And it will definitely be a day that I will never forget. I actually spread it around my school yesterday that I was wearing red, white, and blue today. So I am decked out in my red, white, and blue and my flag scarf as my tribute to the victims of 9/11.
That's great.
That's awesome, Sarah. Thank you so much for sharing. And, you know, I what resonates with me is all the prayer that was happening at that time. And don't we need that to keep going and happening throughout our country right now? And what great hope we have in prayer and what great hope we have in God's love at really challenging times and knowing that there is a better place and there is a peaceful place. And
you know, one of the best things my wife and I do is we gather with our pastor and his wife and whoever else in our church on Tuesday nights. We have tacos and prayer. We have tacos and fellowship and then prayer. We did it again last night. And it's one of the best things. And one of the comments was made last night that regarding 9/11, it's the day everything changed. And yet it seems like nothing changed.
I know.
So
isn't that crazy?
Again, we want to go back to that. Jason Cans, we shared from Eau Claire, jasoncans.com. He shared something you might want to put into practice today. We're attempting to try to get him on with us. We'll see if we can do that in a few minutes. More great music and lyrics you can trust coming up. But on this 9/11 anniversary, we shared something right around 6:45 this morning from Jason Cans. It's jasoncans.com. He's an Eau Claire writer, a doctor there as well. Neuropsychologist, and he's on the line with us because a great post on this 9/11. Jason, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for what you shared. I read it in its entirety earlier, but as you were pondering 9/11, you had three practical prescriptions for people. Kind of walk us through that a little bit, if you could.
Well, we'll see if I can remember them.
Well, I can throw them out to you, and you can.
You bet.
Yeah. First of all, you talked about. You just said, let me invite you to do something today. Put Jesus' words into practice. He said, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. And how could you do that? First, you said, take 5 or 30 minutes to spend some time in prayer. For who?
For the people that seem to stir up negative feelings for you. You know, we have a lot of people that we may not even use the phrase enemy, but people who really... bring up bad feelings for us. You know, I think certainly on 9/11 we think of terrorists who attack the United States, but that can really be anybody. It can be people who have different political opinions than we do. It can be people who, even in our own household, you know, our kids when they make us angry for things they are doing or not doing, our spouses when we're having a point of disagreement. And I think Jesus encourages us to. Pray for those people and not, you know, so I think sometimes we think of prayer and think that means I need to pray that they come around to my way of seeing things. But I think it's, we need to be thoughtful about praying to bless them. It's just a different mindset than I think we have a lot of times.
Absolutely. The next one that you have here, I absolutely love, especially with social media. Before you share an article about why other people are wrong, slow down, pray, ask yourself, am I promoting love or hate, wholeness or division? I think you really hit the nail on the head with that one.
Yeah, a lot of that comes from my own heart. I know that in the past I've had a real tendency to want to share things that point out how other people are wrong. Just yesterday, a good friend of mine had shared something, and my heart hurt as I read it. And I thought, is this what Jesus has called us to? Rather, how can we love the people around us, not only physically, but there's so much of this social media world that we live in. How do we bring light? How do we bring the light and love of Christ to bear on what we're sharing, what we're saying in person and online?
And finally, you're going to love that I say this, right? What Andrew Peterson says, and be kind to yourself. You say, show compassion for those parts of yourself that are not yet all that God would want them to be.
Right. I think we, again, definitely hits home with me. Often we don't give ourselves compassion. We tend to judge and berate those parts of ourselves that are sinful, that are broken, that are not the way they're supposed to be. And so we beat ourselves up, and that tends to lead to cycles of shame. When that happens, unfortunately, we do take it out on ourselves, but we also take it out on other people. You know, God's mercy for us is so much bigger than any of us can ever imagine. And I think when we recognize our belovedness, that God is in the process of making us whole, in the process of integrating us, it changes our view of ourselves, and I think our view of others.
A prescription to a better 9/11, Dr. Jason Kanz. Check out his stuff at jasonkanz.com. Friend him on Facebook. Thank you, friend.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. All right, good stuff. So life is crazy.
Isn't it, though?
Life is messy, and I'm
so
messy.
Is.
Messy Mark, 55 years old, and different things going on. We've got a van that is being totaled because of some damage, and they're like, yeah, the repair on that is going to cost more than just totaling it. So they're gonna
seriously.
They're being real fair with us, and they're supposed to pick that up
today.
Can
you still, like, drive it? No, it's
yeah,
done.
Yeah, I've driven it. No, it's drivable.
Yeah,
I mean, in fact,
okay.
The mechanic said, yeah, you could. You know, she says, I don't take it cross-country, but yeah, you got...
Keep
so
it
anyhow,
local. It's all
so
good.
So remember, things are a little bit crazy. That's happening today. So we're kind of sharing vehicles in the family. With that backdrop, but work a sales job apart from here, One Source Imaging, downtown Eau Claire. They partnered with us during our Hope and Hoops. And great owner, Chris Solberg. And so he was compensating me yesterday. It was payday, and I got paid during the day.
Okay.
I got the check and went home for lunch at about noon. I had put the check, as you can see right here, in my journal.
Journal, yeah.
And in my journal, and then, But somehow it disappeared. I went home, had a little lunch, talked to my wife, took a brief little rest, and I'm like, where did it go? I couldn't find it. We looked all over the house, the van, the garage. I mean, like, where did this? I only was so many. I looked back at work. It kind of consumed. I took a much longer break yesterday.
Kind of need your paycheck.
Sure. And so we kind of took he took care of the situation. He's like, it's going to turn up, and he wrote out a different one.
Oh, lovely.
And then, but the thing is, even as I was leaving, even as I was leaving yesterday, I was driving my daughter's car.
Yeah.
A 2001 vehicle she has, and here's where I felt like I was losing my mind, because I couldn't find the keys. I mean, I was just like, I went out to the car, it was time to go, it was, right before, right around 5, and I'm like,
where are my keys?
Is crazy. I drove the car here. I last drove here, because I was going back and forth between the house and work trying to find this check, and she's got this big... I don't know.
Yeah, the big poof ball.
Yeah, she got the big poof ball.
I've seen the big poof ball.
So you can't
lose
these keys.
I know when you're driving your daughter's car, because you got a tribble on your desk.
I'm 55 years old. That's all. And talk about humbling. So then I go in, and then I'm like, oh, boy, you're not going to believe this. Not only I lost it, I think I can't find my daughter's keys. This is, Mark, when you came back at one point, there was a call. There was a second call coming in. So he said, I think I saw him over on this desk. So I had set him down. And that's kind of the problem. I'm kind of the guy who... So I found the keys later last night before bed. I found the journal with the check. I had stacked it with some other books.
So now you're not going to cash both checks.
No, I can't do that. No, this goes back to Chris
to
today,
Chris.
And he'll be glad to know. No, I can't do that. But just the peace that you get in one's soul.
I know. When you
find things
that
you lost.
Realize you're not the crazy one.
You feel like you're living out a Bible story.
My husband still can't find his hot dog socks.
Oh.
And it's driving him crazy. That's not as big of a deal as a check. But, I mean, these are his favorite socks.
It's a close second.
He can't find his hot dog socks or his Chippewa Valley Trail shirt. And I think he, left them at a hotel someplace. I'm like, I'm sure you had them when we were traveling. They're probably under the bed. You're like the children. You got to check under the bed.
It's just such a piece, though, when you find it.
When
you're
find
it's
it.
It's like the jigsaw pieces in your mind go back together.
Yes, I get it.
So we're glad that lost or found, the Lord's love defends us. WWIB, Rain in 62. WWIB, the Wib Wake Up Show. Why am I playing the Banana Boat song?
Because bananas are so good for you.
Potassium?
That, and I love the song. Harry Belafonte. You can't go wrong with Harry Belafonte. Any morning you can squeeze that into the show is a good morning.
Some of our listeners are going to disagree with his politics, but today we're trying to love
I don't know
those
about
we
his politics.
With.
I just like his music. We do enjoy bananas. Harry Belafonte sings about
them.
We
even call him Harry Banana Belafonte.
There you go.
Harry.
So 10 science-backed health benefits to eating those lovely bananas. They're packed with potassium. They contain 422 milligrams of potassium. That's about 12% of your daily value. This is interesting. They help keep you hydrated.
Really?
I didn't realize that
because
I'm thinking watermelon to do that. But no, it's that whole potassium part that helps you regulate the balance of fluids in your body, especially electrolytes. Electrolytes being the other reason.
Oh, huge for runners, right?
Yes. That's one of the other things. They're packed with as a perfect pre-workout fuel, again, because of those electrolyte powers that they have and the sugars, the carbs that are in there are perfect for your stomach right before working out. They're also good for your gut because they have 3 grams of filling fiber. They boost your post-workout recovery as well because of all of the compounds and phytochemicals that they have.
Hmm.
They're good for your heart because of the potassium. Again, it's a great mineral for your heart. They can replace sugar in baked goods. They're rich in vitamin B6, which is also very good for them. Because of all of that and the fiber, they can help keep your appetite in check. They help keep your kidneys healthy as well. I had no idea they were quite as healthy. Just saying.
One of my daughters is supposed to not have anything more than 5 grams of sugar.
Uh-huh.
And so I wonder if bananas pass. I mean, sometimes it's hard to find how much
A low sugar. A low sugar.
Well, that's terrific.
Fruit.
That's good. Good to know.
Try some bananas. They're more healthy than what I even realized.
Next time you're working out. All right.
Yeah. It's exhausting having a baby in the house. Mm-hmm. You know, you think they sleep a lot, but can they just all admit that they don't? And that seemed to last for a long time into parenthood for me because it seemed like there was always someone up at night.
I got to tell, my wife was holding a little one last night.
Yes.
A little girl and just a little baby.
Yeah.
And I said, boy, it seems it's been a long time since us. And because our kids are between 14 and 19.
Yeah.
But yeah, when you've got them, it's quite the experience, right?
It is. And teenagerhood is exhausting for a whole other different level.
It is.
So yeah, don't think you're going to not feel tired anytime you have kids. But according to a new survey, half of fathers either continue to sleep or pretend to be asleep when their babies cry during
the
night.
Come on, dads. No. Come on now. Back me up. 396-1670. New dads would never do that.
They absolutely would, and I think most of them have. I am so sure that my husband faked sleeping. He is the lightest sleeper in the world. Mm. He hears everything, and he doesn't hear the screaming child crying. What? He can't sleep through
I'm
that.
I'm a light sleeper, too.
He's a light sleeper.
Yeah. We got this old house, and there's creaking and just different things. We're like underneath my son's bedroom.
Yeah.
And we had this little miniature poodle that climbed on our bed about 2:30 in the morning.
Aww.
And whatever. My wife just kept on sleeping. I'm like,
right.
He's kind of wandering around. Yeah.
Yeah. I sleep through so much, and my husband doesn't. But when it comes to kids crying, if that child wakes me up, that child woke you up.
and so the contention being here that the dads are faking to sleep so that they wouldn't.
You have to get out of bed. But you're, a nursing mom. I can't feed the baby. Get up and get me a glass of water.
Mm-hmm.
Change the diaper. Do something. Moral support. Moral support, men. It says that lack of support leaves 6 in 10 mothers feeling bitter towards their partners. Yeah, I think I'm probably still bitter.
But, the counseling, and you're almost through it. You're almost through it. But you and Dean are going to have a face-to-face finally tonight and find out what the actual acknowledgement is. How often were you pretending to sleep?
I'm letting it go.
All right.
It's not worth it.
That's good.
He gets up now and deals with the cats in the middle of the night when they're doing not as brilliant.
Boy, sometimes
things.
I don't know if all the cat stories even make it on the air in terms of what your cats.
I have to take my cats.
If there are any cats who get sick in the middle of the night, it is the Roth cats.
I have
I'll
to take
you.
My cats to the vet today.
Yeah.
And they are so special that they need anti-anxiety medication 2 hours before they go to the vet. I have to fly home after work and medicate my cats.
Whew, that's commitment.
For their vet appointment.
That is St. Francis of Assisi. Blesses
guinea pigs
you.
Are less work.
From the other side, 62 degrees WWIB.
Hey, this is Caleb from the WIB Wake Up Show. Thanks so much for taking a listen to this. You can catch the show live weekday mornings 5:30 to 9 a.m. on 103.7 FM out of Eau Claire, 94.3 FM in Wausau, 93.5 in Marshfield, 93.7 FM in La Crosse, and anywhere at WWIB.com or via the TuneIn radio app or your Amazon Alexa and Google Home devices.